Welcome to another PI World podcast. This is an audio-only version offered as another way to enjoy our great content. A full video version can be seen on piworld.co.uk, where you can find many more videos of interest to investors.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for investing your time in us today. My name is Chris. I'm the Chief Exec of the Pebble Group. I'm joined today by Claire, CFO. We're going to walk you through our results for the half year to June 2021. Claire, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, well, as Chris said, I'm Claire. I'm the CFO of the Pebble Group. And happy to be here today taking you through our half year numbers.
So Pebble Group are in the promotional products industry with two different or differentiated and different businesses. Last time when we did this exercise, we went through the industry, how it works, the business models of the two organisations. And rather than do that again today, what we've done, we put those slides along with some case studies about both businesses at the back of this pack. So you'll be able to see there sort of the business models that we run for both businesses and kind of the industry that we work in, say, along with some case studies. That's at the back of the pack. But today we're going to concentrate on the numbers, the evolution of the business and our aspirations for the future. So our business has two businesses, Facilis Group, technology organisation that sells technology into the North American promotional products market, and Brand Addition, a business that sells promotional products to some of the best known largest brands in the world. So looking at our highlights for the half year to 2021, really a big comparison we're going to do between where were we pre-COVID in half year to 2019, and how have we recovered from the demand impacts that we felt in the half year to 2020. And the answer to that is I feel we've had a strong performance, really recovered well on the Brand Addition side of things. And in fact, what we're doing is predicting that revenues in 2021, our expectation is that they will be close, or if not equal to the revenues in 2019, which is a great recovery. And on Facilis Group, we continue to invest into that organisation and our performances continue to be strong. So at the half year, very pleased where the results are and looking forward to building upon that in H2. So Claire's going to walk you through the highlights of those numbers.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to take this at quite high level, but please feel free to ask me any questions when we get to the Q&A session at the end. There's really the two themes to take away from our half year performance, and that is, you know, the continued growth of our Facilis business. You know, we are accelerating the revenue line there, and we've continued to do that through H1. Also, the return to growth of Brand Addition. We were impacted last year by COVID, but that business has shown a real ability to bounce back, and, you know, something that we'll go through in a little bit more detail as we move through the presentation. But the other theme is the investment in the future. You know, we set out some fairly ambitious revenue targets for Facilis Group in particular when we spoke to you back in March, and really, you know, we're starting to see the impact of that in our numbers and also, you know, kind of make progress operationally as we move towards those. But just taking the KPIs, you can see, you know, revenue for the first 6 months was up 40%, or just shy of 40% versus last year. That's translating through nicely to adjusted EBITDA and our EPS. And that increased net debt number is again showing the impact of that return to growth. You know, Brand Addition, when I've spoken to you before, I will have said is a, you know, a business that requires working capital to grow, but we've got a really well-trodden in-year working capital cycle. And you can see that coming through or impacting the first half. And I'll talk you through how that is translating to cash as we move into the second half. Just really, again, really high level, what I'm showing on this slide are the financial dynamics of the group at both revenue and EBITDA level. So Brand Addition is our product business and is a lion's share of revenue. But Facilis Group, you know, where our revenues are subscriptions, that translates into the really strong plus 50% EBITDA margins. That has a much larger impact, or accounts for a much larger proportion of our EBITDA. And, you know, we're roughly at 50-50 split for the half year between those two businesses. This is a group P&L. When we get into the operations, I'll give you a little bit more detail around the lines between revenue and EBITDA. But so just kind of focusing below EBITDA, if that's okay for now. Looking at our head office costs, then we've invested there and we've talked about it throughout the presentation in ESG. So we made two senior appointments at the beginning of this year who, you know, whose time and effort is really dedicated towards ESG. It's something we take seriously and we want to do a good job on. So there's some incremental cost in the head office line this year for that. And also when you're comparing against last year, then we had some temporary salary reductions that the board took as a result of the impact of COVID on Brand Addition. And they're not there this year, so there is some incremental cost. Depreciation and amortisation, that cost to move forward this year. That's us investing in those aspirational revenue targets. So we moved into a new office at Facilis. The depreciation on that is now starting to come through. And likewise, we've been investing over the period since we acquired Facilis just, you know, to improve our technology products and also to introduce new technology products to the market. So we'll see that coming through in the D&A line. Cash flow, kind of linking back to the theme I just talked about and the growth in the first half and versus prior year, we can see that movement in working capital is perhaps the most interesting number on here. And that's really where Brand Addition, particularly around its consumer promotions orders, which has been a big part of our first half, has got goods that are on the water, our orders en route to our customers, which means that we're carrying a little bit more stock at the half year, but you know that's product that's now been delivered, and also that incremental growth in Brand Addition that's sitting on the balance sheet waiting for us to collect out on. So you can see that movement in working capital is a little bit higher than it was last year. You know, for us, that's a good thing because that's showing that the business is returning to growth. You know, we've got 2 million of CapEx. Again, that's accelerated versus last year. And that's, as I've just said, us investing in those long-term aspirational targets. And, you know, I think the rest of the cash flow is fairly self-explanatory and pretty much consistent with what we've historically seen. If I move on to the balance sheet, again, you know, that's what we've just talked about. We have a little bit more stock than we had at the full year and than we had at the end of 2020, because we're right in the middle of delivering those consumer promotions orders that return to growth in Brand Addition sales. We're sat in debtors at June. It's nice now when we're in September and we can see that revenue has been invoiced. Those orders that were on their way have been delivered as we've moved through July and August. And so we're now at the point where we're collecting out on that revenue. And we've given the indication in our announcement that we're expecting cash at the year end to be no less than £8 million, which is ahead of the original expectation that was in the market. So we're going to get into the operations now. And first of all, we'll talk about Facilis Group. And I'll talk to you about the financial dynamics, and Chris will take you through the operational metrics. But, you know, Facilis Group is our technology business. It's based in North America, and this is where we're earning our subscription revenues. Recurring revenue in the period at 5.4 million is you know, up 15% in sterling. When you look at that in the US dollar home currency of Facilis, then that's 27%, and we've indicated that we're expecting that to be around about 30% for the full year. You can see that the people and overhead number has moved forward at 2.5 million versus 2.2 last year. Again, that's what you know, I'm repeating myself, but that is us investing to achieve those growth aspirations that we've set out, and we'll talk to you about in a little bit more detail later on. And again, the depreciation and amortization is the same thing. So, but I think, you know, in the messages on Facilis, it's, you know, it's a powerful combination of plus 27% recurring revenue growth. We're returning that at plus 50% EBITDA margins. And we've got, you know, some brilliant products that we're going to put out into the market that will take us forward. And we've got investment behind being able to deliver those plans. And I will hand over to you now, Chris, as we go on to the operational metrics.
Super. Thank you very much, Claire. And so now behind those numbers on Facilis that Claire's just talked you through there, I'm going to sort of take you through what, you know, what makes those numbers up and how we can progress those and what the trends are behind them. Really, the first slide is just for the record. Obviously, we're a UK PLC. We show our numbers in sterling. But Facilis Group is a US-denominated business. And I think so that chart on the right shows you the sort of year-on-year progression and of our revenues in Facilis and how that's been consistent, but also kind of how it splits between H1 and H2. And you'll see that generally H2 beats out other H1 numbers. That's what we'd expect this year. And the visibility of the revenues that we have through the subscriptions give us the ability to say we think our recurring revenues, which are the vast majority, over 95% of revenues in business, that that'll be around a 30% growth in full year 21 versus 20. And, you know, which I think 30% growth on a 55% EBITDA margin, that's a really nice dynamic. That's a, you know, a really powerful business model. And so, you know, our challenge now is how can we scale that? So how can we move that revenue number up and really keep that sort of that EBITDA margin after we've got a really interesting business here? So behind those numbers, I think we're trying to achieve three things, really. So firstly, the results. And I think our results, you know, to date have been strong for Facilis. So I think, you know, in the short term, as we're thinking about how to attract investors, how to retain investors, you know, interest in our organization, I think hitting the short-term results is very important, and I think we've done that. What we also need to do is demonstrate progress in the near term and how that's evolving into 2021, but also trying to demonstrate a vision for the future, you know, how exciting can this business model be? And that's what we're trying to do with these metrics, with these KPIs, to show you we've hit some numbers in the short term, we're making progress, and we've also got, you know, a vision for the future. You know, and I think if we can achieve that, you know, we've got a super business. So looking at the three things here, first of all, our customer numbers or partner numbers, you know, these are the people that sort of use our technology to work in North America. They're generally sort of entrepreneurial businesses, around about, you know, between $2 and $10 million dollars in revenue. And that $2 to $10 million in revenue is what they put through our system. And so you can see those partner numbers have consistently increased. And today we have just shy of 200 who are using our technology. And I'll come on to retention rates, which, you know, historically pretty good. We never take that for granted, but have been very good, and we hope to retain that. The sales that those partners are doing through our technology is in that middle chart, what we call the gross merchandise value. And again, splitting it out between half one and half two. You can see if the Facilis numbers in many ways don't show the pandemic happened and that was there. But I think here we can see that actually it did affect us, and what it affected us operationally. We worked really hard with our partners to help them through it, really hard with our suppliers that were very affected as well. So that our numbers take a smooth line, you know, our teams are working enormously hard behind there to support our suppliers, to support our partners too. So in 2020, you can see the gross merchandise value was affected by around 250 million. Of sales that was PPE equipment. So that is plain masks, plain sanitizers, and our partners have been very entrepreneurial and selling those things into the market to support their businesses. That type of sale has really gone away now. So we're selling PPE, but it's branded masks, it's branded sanitizers and things like that. So it will be a bigger part of the product mix, but that sort of high volume, sort of low value trading of plain products that we had last year has now gone away, and a real recovery beginning to happen. So, you know, the 467 million of sales that our partners have put through the system now are your more traditional promotional product sales. And you can see from the chart, generally in second half, generally sales are higher than the first. And what we're seeing in the first 2 months of the second half of the year, so in July and August 2021, that our sales our partners are making through our systems are well ahead of both 2019 and 2020, which is a real, I think, very significant. It shows the number of partners that are using our systems increased, but also a reflection that the end markets are improving and recovering. And by doing the maths on here, we expect to get around about, you know, 1.1 billion of sales through our technology in 2021, which again, you know, I think is the largest consolidator of spend in the US promotional products market. On the right-hand side, we have our preferred supplier spend. So we contract with our preferred suppliers to give our partners really good pricing, really good rebates and great service. And for working that sort of helping smooth the transition between a partner and a sale with a supplier, that we take a fee for that as well. So the more we can push to our preferred suppliers, then the better it is for our partners, our suppliers and ourselves. And you can see again that spend grows first half to second half, and grows year on year as we sort of you know, really push our partners to use those preferred suppliers. So if these three charts are all moving in an upward direction, then what we know that our recurring revenues are increasing, and our sort of business at a 55% EBITDA margin is becoming more and more profitable. So all moving in the right direction, and the signs for 2021 are really positive too. So what I've done here is just expand out that partner number chart. We haven't shared the bridge of how sort of how churn works before, but you can see here if at the end of 2020 we had 175 partners, we've now got just shy of 200 with a 190 plus the 7 waiting to be implemented. we see the attrition is very low. So just one there is actually sort of, you know, didn't fit our model, has decided to do something else. And then we've had three that have actually either been acquired within our group or have been acquired by an external business to our group. So trying to show here that our retention levels of our customers has been very high, you know, which is very good for us. And I think it's going to be particularly important to show this chart as we really try to ramp up growth to give you a view of, you know, how good are we at retaining business and kind of how many, if we want to grow by a net 100, how many do we have to sort of grow by on a gross basis in order to sort of cover off that attrition. So that slide there though says we've been going in a sort of very sensible direction. We never take our partners for granted, but really pleased you know, that they kind of do stick with us, etc. And so if we talked about hitting some results, I think kind of, you know, hoping we've ticked that box. If we're talking about making progress in the near term, I think those partner growth numbers, GMV returning to what it was in the past, and a high proportion of sales going through our preferred suppliers shows in the near term that that we're making progress. You know, the exciting thing for us, what we want to do now is show where's the vision, where do we take the business next? And we're looking, our business to date has been based upon the order workflow platform for our partners. And that's around about that 2 to 10 million size business. That's what we're really focused on. And that is that bottom row there, that's Syncore. That's the business that you see today. And all those the numbers and the sort of partner numbers behind that have been placed upon. What we're looking to do is bring two new products into the market. One called Commercial. Commercio is that middle row, and that's an e-commerce platform that we purchased some assets for at the end of 2020 and invested further in over the last 6 months. A number of our partners are testing that product already, and that allows our partners to more easily sell to their customers by having an e-commerce platform that's specifically for them. So it's not only with Syncore, we're helping them have great visibility of their business. We're helping them kind of do it efficiently and give them time to sell. With Commercio, we're giving them a product that helps them sell. And that's what we're looking to do on that. That will help both increase the share of wallet we have with existing partners, but as we develop that, we can also sell that to non-partners within the promotion products world as well. And we think that will really drive our revenues even further forward. And then the third product on the top row is our order workflow platform. There's enormously fragmented market, the promotional products market across the world and in the US as well. There's something like, you know, 20,000 small businesses in the US that are working in this world. And we believe there's a market out there to do a smaller, a lighter version of Syncore that allows us to go and offer our experience and our technology and our supplier relationships to those smaller businesses that helps them sell and attracts kind of customers back into us, increases our GMV and increases our spend with preferred. And I think that's a part of the market that we are now investing in to build products and to build a sales and a marketing offering that kind of puts our business in that small market, increases our universe. And the sum of these three products in the market, we think gives us a really exciting and interesting future. And I think rather than just talk about them against there, we wanted to place some targets. And that's what we've done, last March. And would like to kind of just share where we are with those. That's what we hit last year for 2020 in terms of partner numbers, gross merchandise value, and spend with preferred suppliers. We published the targets for 2021, and we feel as though we're well on the way to achieving those. Claire's talked about the investment we're putting into the business. We're investing highly in our people, in our technology, and our infrastructures, because, you know, we've got two big years ahead. But if we can change what's circa a $17 million recurring revenue business into a $50 million recurring revenue business, it's become a really powerful model. And it's the compounding of those three products that we talked about that we've modeled out and hope the $50 million is very achievable for us. And that's sort of the facilities side. I think really important, wanted to tick the three boxes with you. Demonstrate results, show progress, and show some vision for the future as well. And I think it's a great business, and if we can scale it in the ways we want to, you know, I think it's an exciting future. Another super business in our group is Brand Addition. Brand Addition sells products to some of the best known brands in the world and really engages their employees, their customers, and their wider stakeholders. Again, Claire will talk you through the financial dynamics and the P&L, and then I'll come back and talk about sort of where the sales and revenue have gone this year and where we hope they go in the future.
So the revenue line in Brand Addition, I've referred to it already, but you know, we see that 41 million really returning towards the 2019 numbers, which is a brilliant performance. And that comes from two places. That's the growth in the consumer promotions division that sits within Brand Addition, but also the recovery of that corporate programs business. And so that's really taken us back towards 2019 in the first half. And as we've indicated, we're expecting for the full year that we will get slightly ahead of that number, which is a brilliant result. The gross profit margin at 28 points is, you know, probably a couple of points lower than where we'd like it to be. You know, not a million miles away from where we were in 2019, but has been really affected this year by two things principally. So Brexit in the first quarter, you know, where the teams had to work amazingly hard to make sure that product going into Europe was delivered and landed with our customers. So that was a point where, you know, nobody really knew what the rules were. Freight forwarders didn't, the customs guys didn't, and life was changing on a daily basis, and the teams worked really hard to make sure that we, you know, as a UK business, we didn't become difficult for our customers to work with. You know, a lot of our customers are based in Europe, and so that was a really difficult period that has impacted margins in the short term, particularly in Q1. You know, I think it's probably remains a little bit harder to move product around. It's a little bit more expensive, but I think we are through the period of the one-off cost that we chose to bear in the first quarter. And you know, that's kind of moved from being a Brexit challenge into a wider freight capacity issue that's then led on to a pricing challenge. And so, you know, we're not alone in this. It's, you know, it's well documented that there's a freight shortage, and we're seeing some huge freight price increases. And our teams, again, are working really hard to make sure that we mitigate the impact of that on our business as far as we can. And that's both in terms of the immediate cost, but making sure that we maintain those ongoing relationships with our customers, which the team are doing brilliantly well, and that we contain the impact. And so we contain the impact on our numbers in the short term, which you can see it has had an impact. But again, you know, we believe that's pressing to the numbers that we are putting forward for the full year. And then just the other point on Brand Addition is that, you know, people and overhead costs, when you compare that with where we were this time last year, the business had been affected by COVID, and we were taking advantage of the furlough and other government support schemes that were available, and our teams were supporting the business with temporary salary reductions. So they're not there this year, so there is an increase in that people and overhead cost. But you can see, you know, overall we've got some super revenue growth, sensible gross profit margins in a period that's been really, you know, quite difficult for people to manage, and that adjusted EBITDA percentage return and operating profit percentage return are moving back towards those that we were able to deliver in 2019. Okay, so this next slide is just to really help you understand the balance sheet of Brand Addition and the typical annual order cycle that we experience. So the chart on the left-hand side shows you where the red line is the total Brand Addition orders received over a year. And you can see that moves in a fairly straight line. But underneath that, there's a real difference between the two divisions of Brand Addition. So that, you know, the consumer promotions order window is very heavily weighted towards the first half. So, you know, we will receive orders at the end of Q4 that will come forward into the following year, which you can see right on the left-hand axis. But those orders come through in the first half, and that's where we've really experienced the growth. So we're seeing those super numbers when we're comparing against 2020, well, both 2020 and 2019. But that consumer promotions order window, you know, that tapers out as we move through H2. And so we really have received the majority of those orders, and that's the product that's being delivered in now. Corporate programs, conversely, but that's where we are selling on shorter lead times, largely out of stock, and so, you know, that's a much shorter order window, and that activity really ramps up as we get through the second half. And so you can see that overall that blends out to a relatively straight line, but there's two very different stories in there, and that has an impact on our working capital, which I touched on earlier. So, you know, we have a very well-trodden path and an in-year cycle that we start the year low. That working capital builds because those consumer promotions orders are largely bespoke, purchased in the Far East. And so that there, we've received those orders in Q1, replacing those orders with the factories as we move through Q1. And at that point, we're paying deposits as the product's delivered. Then we pay the balance payments on those orders. That product then gets delivered into our customers and invoiced, and then we collect out on those orders, you know, which is what's happening now. And so as we move through the rest of this year, then we will, you know, we'll see that working capital number start to unwind and get back down to that low point at the end of December.
So looking again, what's behind those numbers and sort of what direction do we think we're heading in? So this chart here, so I'll concentrate on the chart rather than the words. But if you can imagine the chart here in one colour, you know, what this is saying is that we expect revenues in Brand Addition to bounce back to full year 19 levels in full year 21. And I think that's a fantastic performance from Brand Addition. And, you know, well done to everyone in that business for having that, you know, making that achievement. I think when I sat here a year ago, if I'd have said that, you know, to investors and you know, sort of the wider sort of community, I'm not sure, you know, that would have been believed. But I think it's a brilliant performance to have that V-shaped recovery. And we split it into the different segments to show how that's actually come about. So as Claire said, we've got two parts of business, which is how the product's used. We call consumer promotions, where we are producing products that our clients use to help sell their own. So it's things like through gift with purchase. And so that side of our business has done really well. You see, it sort of held its own in 2020 from 2019, but through building relationships over a long period of time and getting things like the creative rights, the price point out of the right factory, delivering it right on time, doing that consistently over a number of years has led to our clients, some of the best known companies in the world, becoming very comfortable with us doing it for them and trusting us to do it further. And that consolidation has led to growth in 2021. And so that side of our business has performed extremely well. Alongside there, you see in a dark blue, our corporate program business. Again, some of the best companies in the world outsourcing their need for merchandise through us. But generally, that's around about brand awareness, employee engagement. And that side certainly suffered in 2020 when the pandemic struck, conferences finished, as people were out of the office. There was a shock in that business and sales did reduce. But we didn't lose any of those clients. Those clients have started spending again. And what we have done, our new business team brought in some great new clients into our organization. So you can see on that sort of third chart from the left, 44 million is coming through from our consumer promotions business. On top of that, we expect our like-for-like sales in our corporate program business from 2019 to be between 70 and 80% recovery. And that's against a very clean 2019 and a still lockdown first quarter 2021. So I think that's still a creditable performance. And on top of that, that last section on the top is the new business that was pulled in by our new business team and implemented by our wider business. That's been successful in 2021 as well. I think the headline really is here, Brand Addition has recovered in a V-shaped recovery in 21, which I think is a super performance for the business. If we look out now to 2022, our ambition is to retain that growth in the consumer promotion side and see further recovery on corporate programs. And our new businesses, again, the team's been very successful in attracting new well-known brands into our organization and carrying forward the seven that's already on top. We're looking to put another seven on top of that in 2022 as well. So the mantra of Brand Addition is all about large contracts with international companies. It's about win the tender, grow that business, retain it, and then repeat that process. And I think definitely, you know, we suffered in 2020, but I think a superb effort from that team in getting the business back right on track in 2021. And, you know, we're ambitious, obviously, to grow the business from there. So this next slide really gives you by sector and by geography how our business is split. I think that, you know, two things really come from that. I think, you know, it says kind of we're over multiple geographies and multiple sectors, which I think is a good thing. The increase in first half 2021 versus 2020 is around that health and beauty side on the chart on the left, and that's to do with that consumer promotions piece, which again affected by the chart on the right in terms of that wasn't the majority into Europe. And that's really kind of the difference year on year. But I think, you know, more than the difference year on year, I think this is saying across, you know, some good, strong businesses in strong sectors and across multiple geographies as well, which I think is a good thing for our business. That's really kind of talking about our companies and their performance and their prospects. And, you know, we sit here never complacent, but I think really proud of what the team's achieved and very kind of motivated to move forward. And one of those areas is, you know, our ESG strategy. And who wouldn't like ESG? It kind of says you have to run a business properly, you know, be transparent about what you're doing and care about your employees, your customers, your partners, and the wider stakeholder group. And so it's a great thing. I think we've embraced being a public company and having to report on the ESG initiatives and plans that we have. That starts with investment. And as Claire's touched upon, invested in two, you know, significant senior roles. That is Lucy Penfold as our sort of Group General Counsel and Company Secretary, and Kirsten Mottle as our Senior ESG Officer. And that gives an amount of time onto ESG that we didn't have in the business before. And so kind of all of Kirsten's time and a lot of Lucy's time is spent around this ESG topic, making sure it's flowing consistently across our group and that we are fulfilling the words and the sentences that we're kind of making. So we are putting a report out. We're sort of dealing with the final drafts of that now. That report will be published in early October, and it will send an RNS out and be available on our website, and I welcome all feedback on that. But I think, you know, ESG is a great topic. I think it's an important one for all companies, and why wouldn't you embrace it? It's simply the right thing to do. And then taking you on to our outlook, a three-line sentence, and you won't believe how long it takes to conjure that sort of thing up. But basically it's saying, I think we feel confident that the expectations that are out there in the market, based upon the recurring revenues in Facilis, the visibility of the brand addition order book that we had, allow us to make the statement that we feel confident that market expectations will at least be met. And that sort of comes about, not by accident, it comes about by a huge amount of hard work across our teams. And then again, I don't often get a public environment to say thank you to those guys. So a huge thank you to all the effort and dedication that's gone into the business from our teams at Brand Addition, Facilis Group, and the team at Pebble Group, along with our board. You know, I represent the business here, but I feel enormously well supported by everybody across there. So I think we've had a sensible first half to 2021. We're ambitious to finish it off well, but more importantly, ambitious to take this business forward in the long and medium term. And we really appreciate all your time today. And I think that sort of moves us across if we have any questions. Thank you.
The first question is about supply chain issues affecting both the industry and the Pebble Group specifically. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think Claire touched upon it. So across the business, affects it slightly differently. So in our Facilis Group, it's affecting our preferred suppliers, and we're kind of working hard with our preferred suppliers to make sure that great communication between our partners and our preferred suppliers to know where stock is, to know what's available, and using our influence to help those businesses, our partners and our suppliers, get the best out of a very difficult situation. On Brand Addition, Claire touched upon Brexit, was a big effect in the first 2 months. That got replaced by freight capacity and then freight pricing issues. I sit here and I write the report that kind of says, you know, we have suffered and that's coming to our gross margin. And it has, you know, I think in Brand Addition, there probably a couple of points where I'd like to be in gross margin, but that is supporting our customers for the long term, kind of trying to make the right decisions in difficult circumstances. So it absolutely has affected us, and that's coming out in the margin. We hope to sort of retain the margin that's there for the rest of this year that's been in H1. But also, again, sort of our team's sort of amazing experience, very dedicated, dealing with this between our suppliers, our freight forwarders, and our customers communicating on a daily basis. And as we sit today, it's affected our margins, but I hope it only improves our customer relationships by the way we behaved and acted, and our teams have got us through this. So it's been difficult, very difficult, but, you know, life is sometimes, and our teams are really managing it extremely well in those circumstances.
And could you talk us through a little bit of new business activity at Brand Addition?
Yeah, and so the new business activity over the last 2 years has been very good, you know. So we had two great business wins in 2020 that have translated into a good sales level in 2021. And I think the team has, you know, had a very high level of activity going through 2021 so far. That's probably resulted in four or five new contracts where the sales impact will affect 2022 rather than 2021. So we're busy going through the finalisation of those contracts, and then we should lead on to those implementations. So again, a really solid 2 years of new business acquisition of brand addition has been very good. And I think that go back to it, we want to be on tenders, and then it's about win, grow, retain, repeat. And that's the sort of brand addition model with those large corporates. And the new business pipeline is, I would say, we would hope it would match, have the influence in 2022 that the wins in 2020 had in 2020.
Thank you. And as the Facilis Group moves towards the targeted 50 million annual recurring revenue, how will its EBITDA margin change? And also, how much CapEx is required to get there? And do you think that you'll do any acquisitions in the area?
So I'll take that one. So I'll take the CapEx point first. So I think we gave the full year announcement. There's some guidance on our presentation that's on our website for where we think that number is for this year. And I think, we'll probably round about that number, maybe £500,000 less in 2021. What the steer that I'm giving for 2022 is that I would increase the 21 number by around about £3.5 million. And that's us really investing in the technology products that we're looking to put out there in the market. In terms of an EBITDA margin, I think I said we're at 55 for the half year, and I think that's a sensible number for the rest of 21. I think 22 and 23, I would guide that would come down a little bit in the short term, because we want to really spend now to achieve those 50 million targets, and that means making sure that we put our cash into brilliant product, and we get the right product in the market, and then we follow that up with some sales and marketing investment to make sure that we are are delivering on those numbers. So I think a 50 for the for the short term, and that, by that I mean 22-23, and then I think after that it is quite hard to to hold that EBITDA number down. So I think that would move, we were at 60 last year, I would see that moving as we get towards 50 million, moving up towards that 60% return number.
And do you think that you'll do any acquisitions in the area?
And I think right now all our plans are based upon organic growth, and we have been successful in acquisitions in our sort of time managing the group. But right now the plans we put forward are about organic growth. If something came along that we thought added to our technology, added to our customer numbers, or a service stream, or geography to our business, we'd never say never, and we'd have a look at things. But I think the message should be, and you should think of us as trying to achieve our aspirational targets and our growth organically.
Thank you. And a final question. Are there any plans or opportunities to expand Facilis Group's footprint into other markets, for example, Europe?
Yeah. And so Facilis, everything we're building in technology. So we're looking to make sure we can translate from language and currency that we can kind of do in other territories. I think the focus is absolutely right now on North America. It's a huge market, has that fragmentation in there, and it has the advantages of one language, one currency. And so from that perspective, I think there's an awful lot to go at. So the return from the time invested is definitely the best place for us to stay right now is North America. But looking at the long term, we're building our technology to give it a platform to go international. But again, what's in there, if I said think it was organic rather than acquisition, I would say to you with Facilis, think North America rather than international right now.
Tremendous. Thank you very much. And that's the end of questions. Chris, do you have any closing remarks?
Just to say, I know we've focused a lot on numbers and some of the KPIs. Our business models and some case studies of our businesses are at the back of the pack. And so please refer to that, if you want to know a little bit more about our business models. But just want to say thank you to everybody for the time that you've invested in us today.
PI World videos and podcasts are for general information and interest. They do not constitute any kind of recommendation or inducement to buy shares of any company. PI World is not offering any kind of financial advice, and nothing in our material should be taken as such.